Well, ladies and gentlemen, usually I'm not nervous before doing this broadcast. It's so darn routine, don't you know? I mean, you probably could do it for me by now. You know what the deal is. But today, I've been spending the last few minutes all at Twitter, like a schoolgirl before the prom. Well, not exactly, but you know, a Twitter, because this broadcast is the first broadcast to the public originating from a suite of brand new studio space age. Don't you know? You can tell it's space age because it's gray. Everything in my field of vision right now is a wonderful varying shade of gray. And you can tell that it's brand new studios because the brightest lights in the room are pointed at the side walls. So if you like me are sitting at a microphone trying to read something to the listening audience, you just think, well, hey, you know, I could walk over to the wall and read it. But sitting here in the pool of gloom, for which is designed for the broadcaster, why, what's it say? Anyway, I'm in Washington, D.C., as I believe I suggested at the end of last week's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. And it is our nation's capital, and so much more. I woke up this morning. You know, a lot of you, well, all of us, I think, are too old to remember firsthand, but I think we've all read, many of us have read, about one of the darkest, one of the less pleasant chapters in the history of this city. When in the 1930s, the great gospel singer Marian Anderson was denied the right to perform in concert at Constitution Hall here in Washington, D.C. It was owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution, and they did not find her a fit person to occupy that stage because of her race. So if you want to know exactly how far we've come, ladies and gentlemen, flash forward to today when tuning in to one of the many NPR stations here in town that doesn't carry this broadcast, I was advised that later this afternoon I could go down to Constitution Hall, the self-same Constitution Hall, and hear Jose Feliciano. Now, if that's not enough, he's accompanied by the United States Air Force Band. So if you've ever dreamed, if you've ever said to yourself, you know, I love Jose Feliciano's music, but all it needs is a military band behind it, this, ladies and gentlemen, is your lucky day. It may be mine, too. I don't know. But we'll see if the studio works on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ. Judging by the hole in the satellite picture, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. You're an all-star.
it makes sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Get into it.
Makes you taste good. wrong, it makes you not seem wrong. You got to keep in mind, love is here, but today it's gone, tomorrow. Love is here, but today it's gone, but tomorrow it's gone.
For all of you who ever wondered what just one Beach Boy would sound like, that was it. Hello from the nation's capital, from Washington, D.C., from the home of taxation without representation. I'm Harry Shearer with another edition of the show, with this edition of the show, as a matter of fact, to be utterly specific about it. Last time local news in Washington got into my can, I don't know about your can, or your Barbie for that matter, Throw a shrimp on your can and listen to this. The last time was when a member of the city council was made so bold. I think it was the city council, maybe it was a mayor, made so bold as to complain about the niggardly expenditures on something that he wanted more money spent on. And you know what happened to him. Well, now there's a restaurant in Richmond, Virginia, that's being attacked by neighbors because this is on the front page of the Metro section of the Sunday Washington Post, which is how I know about it. Some of the neighbors in a middle-class community in eastern Henrico County are objecting to the specialty in the Send-A-Chef restaurant, cafe. Yeah, restaurant just outside Richmond, Virginia. They object to the ghetto burger. I didn't. It's right here. It's the ghetto burger. They don't like it. Of course, he could just change the name to the Get-A-Burger, and everybody would be happy, but he don't want to do that. It's the ghetto burger, and so it will remain for the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, imagine my surprise when this week the United States Federal Energy Regulatory Commission said that electric generating firms had inflated their prices to California during the recent crisis. Who would have thunk it? You know, if the feds say it, it's got to be true. They raised their, they took advantage. My goodness. As I say, that's from the Who Would Have Thunk It department. Two companies that sold electricity to power-plagued California might have engaged in actions designed to inflate prices there, potentially earning $10 million in excessive profits. Of course, people in California say the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is understating the inflation by a factor of 10, but understating inflation is a good thing, isn't it? Isn't that what Alan Greenspan likes? Let me back off from the week's news for a moment, because it's so darn good, to just share with you a reflection. Can we reflect for a moment? Can we just have some time to reflect? Look how my voice mellowed when I got into a reflective mode. I've been spending some time in Wilmington, North Carolina. Don't ask. You're in the wrong demographic to know. But Wilmington has a charming little downtown. You know, a real old town. Not even an oldie townie. An old town. And it's a downtown. That is to say, as you walk down the streets of downtown, the loudest noise you hear is the raucous cacophony of bird song. It's literally, and it's very cute downtown, and it has these little shops, you know, with the stinky candles and the hopefully non-stinky antiques. And it's a tourist attraction now. All the real business of Wilmington, North Carolina, happens in along the highway out toward the college, about 15 miles away from downtown, where, you know, all the big stores are, where people actually shop who live there. But the tourists, you see, come to Wilmington and stroll around the old town quietly so as not to disturb the birds. So what we have in America, I think now, it's just becoming clear to me, I'm late arriving at the party, I guess, is everybody likes to live in a town where the downtown is where they ignore the downtown. But they like to go travel to some place that has an oldie downtowny that they can visit and buy stinky candles for the relatives back home. Back home where they would ignore the downtown, where the tourists from the other place go. Now, by contrast, some places, like the home of the homeless, have a thriving downtown. They worked very hard in Santa Monica, did they, to create a thriving downtown that attracts throngs of people, many of them young, especially on weekends. And so they're worried because too many people are coming to their downtown. So the city of Santa Monica has just turned thumbs down on the proposal to build a Target store. This is a city that spends millions every year to ensure that people of modest means can afford to live in Santa Monica. But they voted down a Target store where people of modest means could afford to shop because it's, you know, the traffic of the thing. Traffic in downtown. Because basically they want it to be another downtown where the loudest sound is birdsong, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out this downtown thing. But you want it where you go to visit, but you don't want it where you live? Is that it? Can you explain that to me, Mr. and Mrs. America? All right. Because I'm busy watching Jose Feliciano and the U.S. Air Force Band at Constitution Hall. All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Because it's so darn good. First of all, you may recall that when former Vice President Al Gore, remember him, began his teaching career at Columbia University, he promulgated a rule, which was in effect until people yelled about it, that the class was off the record. Now, of course, the joke was it was a journalism class. But you got to teach journalists how to keep secrets, don't you? I thought you did. So that has been rescinded. But now we have from Dateline Menominee, Wisconsin. Apparently this is catching, or it's in the genes of Democrats leaving office. Former Clinton advisor George Stephanopoulos and the University of Wisconsin Stout. What is that? I'm over here looking at it. Yeah, some campus of the University of Wisconsin. Can they actually have named a campus of the University of Wisconsin after a type of beer? Would that be too good a joke? Maybe. They've signed a contract that bans reporters from his April 2nd speech at the school. Stephanopoulos will be paid $25,000 of student funds. John Inger, University Relations Executive Director, says the restriction is a provision out of the university's control. They signed the contract, but the provision is out of their control. They couldn't say that's a deal breaker? No, they could not. No way do I defend George Stephanopoulos' decision to impose that restriction on the press, he said. From my knowledge of the open meeting law, it's a stretch for the university to say you can't attend as a member of the public and then write a story for the publication, said journalism chairman David Gordon of the University of Wisconsin at Eau Claire. Stephanopoulos did not return phone calls left Friday at ABC News in New York by AP reporters, nor did his speakers bureau. So, George Stephanopoulos taking $25,000 in student funds to say, we don't know what. On a related media note, a journalist from a newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch's corporation in Australia has been stripped of her column after writing an article in which she described said boss as a foreigner. Of course, he's an American citizen now. The editor-in-chief of The Australian told Amanda Mead that she would no longer be writing her regular media column, The Diary. She wrote an item concerning a front-page story in another Murdoch newspaper about rising foreign ownership of Australian businesses. She suggested the author of that article could have added to the list of foreign-owned brands his own newspaper, owned by that well-known foreigner, Rupert Murdoch, end quote. Sources say the editors asked for the item to be taken out. It was not, apparently because of a production glitch. The editor of The Australian denied that Mead had lost her position because of the Murdoch article. It was the newspaper's intention to broaden the scope of the whole media section so it deals with broader issues, he said. I can imagine. I can certainly imagine wanting to broaden the issues at that point in time. Ladies and gentlemen, can't you? Hey, remember a few weeks ago, the issue of DVT, is that right? DVT? Is that the, it doesn't say here. Yeah, DVT. Deep vein thrombosis from sitting on airplane seats too long. People were dying to get off planes. Now the airline industry has accepted that there is association between long-haul air travel and fatal blood clots. So you see those stops in Charlotte or some other hub are good for you. Makes you get off the plane, walk around a little while, waste some time. Patronize News and Gifts. Try to find the news in News and Gifts, by the way. Yeah, it's back there behind the gifts. After years of denials, industry representatives have agreed that a major program of research into the issue should take place. It will take about 2 years to complete and will examine factors such as cramped seating, cabin air pressure, an excessive intake of alcohol. Guess which they'll blame? Here are the three possible causes. Cramped seating, cabin air pressure, and excessive intake of alcohol. Hands? It will also try to assess how far onboard exercise wearing special stockings, or are you just glad to see me, or taking blood-thinning agents like aspirin could help. The airlines said it will take steps to ensure passenger safety. However, no government or airline has yet agreed to pay the research. Michael Feldman, a spokesman for the airline industry, said what we are hoping is we will get a definitive understanding about what the true cause is of deep vein thrombosis. And blah, blah, blah. A number of high-profile cases of passengers dying from DVT after traveling long distances has prompted fears of a link between the condition and air travel. DVT is a condition which small blood clot forms in the deep veins of the legs. Scientists fear air travelers could be at risk because of the lack of opportunity to move about on the planes. Airlines have previously insisted that blood clots could just as easily occur on long-term bus or car trips. No one knows how many people die of the disease. Says a vascular surgeon who attended the World Health Organization meeting. I'm Dr. John Skurr. Dr. John Skurr, interesting last name. I'm convinced there is a link between flying and the development of blood clots, but I think the problem is still quite small. Those at risk were the elderly and those with serious illnesses. Well, they're at risk of everything, aren't they? Finally, in the media news of the week, there's a big controversy in Italy over Vatican Radio putting out what they call electrosmog. Now, we in Los Angeles, we've had regular smog for years, but the invention of a new kind of smog, that gets me all excited. Electrosmog. Italy's environmental minister has slammed the Vatican's decision to ignore Italian legal action against Vatican Radio for electromagnetic pollution as incredible. Italian judges have summoned Vatican Radio's Director General, Father Pasquale Borgomeo, and two other top administrators to attend a trial. The radio is accused of generating dangerous levels of electrosmog with its powerful transmitters located just outside Rome. The Holy See informed the Italian ambassador it was refusing the summons, saying it was not subject to Italian law because the radio transmitters are located on Vatican territory. There's an Italian. Italy became one of the first countries in the world last month to adopt legislation aimed at protecting its population from electromagnetic pollution. The law targets the so-called electrosmog produced by sources such as power lines, mobile phone relay stations, and TV and radio transmitters. At least 200,000 Italians are thought to be regularly exposed to emissions from electromagnetic fields from Vatican transmitters. Prosecutors say the field from the Vatican transmitters are well above safety limits because they beam programs around the world. Speaking of pollution, finally in the week, correct me if I'm wrong, those of you who've been keeping track, but wasn't one of the big complaints against both Bill Clinton and Al Gore by the Republicans that they prevaricated? I mean, I know that the Republicans also accused Bill Clinton of, rape and murder, but more often than not, they accused him of lying. And wasn't the big thing against Al Gore last year, tall tale, oh, he's telling some tall, he's lying, he's telling, and that George W. Bush was going to restore honesty as well as dignity to the Oval Office. Well, this week, the White House announced that George W. Bush wrote a letter, I believe, saying that a campaign pledge he'd made to restrict carbon dioxide emissions from power plants, that was not going to happen. Now, this was a pledge made in, this was not an off-the-record kind of deal. This was not, you know, chatting on the press plane. This was a written speech which George W. Bush read off the teleprompter, in which he bragged about wanting to have mandatory controls, mandatory limits on carbon dioxide emissions from power plants to possibly reduce possible global warming, and bragged that Al Gore just wanted voluntary limits, but hey, in Texas, we do it another way. Well, this week, after Christy Todd Whitman, his Environmental Protection Administrator, said that they were going ahead with that, President Bush this week wrote a letter saying, no, we're not. The Bush White House said it was a mistake. Rick Santorum, Republican senator from Pennsylvania, says, well, you shouldn't be held to fulfilling a campaign pledge if it's a bad pledge. So I guess, ladies and gentlemen, all I can hope is that they're going to discipline that teleprompter.
It begins to tell around midnight. I do pretty well till after sundown. At supper time, I'm feeling sad, but it really gets bad around midnight. Memories always start around midnight. Haven't got the heart to stand those memories till my song is safe with you. And oh, midnight knows it too. When a quarrel we had needs mending, does it mean that our love is ending? Darling, Lately I find you're out of my heart and I'm out of my mind. Let our hearts take wing round midnight. Let the angels sing for your returning, till my song is safe with you. And oh midnight, no out of my mind. Let our hearts take wing round midnight. Let the angels sing for your returning. When my song is sang with you.
It's always a pleasure to welcome back to the show a familiar voice, if not a familiar face, looking a little different. I don't know, a springtime personality change or something. Ralph, the talking computer. Ralph, welcome.
Thanks, Harry. It's great to be back, but actually, I am sporting some new skins that I downloaded from Napster.
New skins?
This one is the titanium look.
It's a very, very pleasing look, Ralph. Very, very... complimentary to your whole sleek design.
Hey.
But speaking of Napster, we haven't had a chance to ask you about it, and you'd be kind of an expert as much as anybody else or anything else on the subject. What's your opinion of Napster?
Harry, as you know, I don't have any opinions per se.
Yeah, well.
But I am programmed with a bias in favor of anything that can help fill up my hard disk.
Ah.
So yeah, I dig it. Dog.
Dog?
Yeah, I've been keeping up on the Puffy Combs trial.
Ah, well.
It's wild.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. That's not really why you're here, Ralph. Normally you read us a Larry King column from USA Today, but we haven't seen you in a while.
Well, you know, the columns have had an awful lot of stuff about his kids and his charities.
Yeah,
you know, I only have so many megabytes of patience for that.
I understand.
I did think about reading you Michael Jackson's speech at Oxford.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. What, do you do a Michael Jackson kind of impression?
Well, your Mr. Impression with the voices and the thing.
Stop.
I can't compete with that.
But
I do have the hang of MJ.
Okay.
I think.
Good. Well.
Want a little taste?
Maybe after the show. Oh, you mean a sample of the... yeah, sure. Read us a little bit.
Okay, here goes.
Excellent.
I never had a normal childhood. That's why I'm bonded with my friend Elizabeth Taylor.
Mm.
That, and the fact that we wear the same eyeshadow.
Hey, wait a minute. That wasn't in the...
That was a nutty ad-lib. Sorry.
Ralph, you are wild.
Guilty.
All right, so you do have this week's Larry King column to read. Want some music or something?
Yeah.
Mm.
Something a little jammy.
Jammy.
Kind of techno-retro-funk.
Ah.
To make a nice contrast with the verbiage.
Okay. So, now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Ralph the Talking Computer reading this week's Larry King column from USA Today.
King's things. Marie Osmond turned down a couple of major offers recently which would have involved big bucks. But she is committed to her new book, Behind the Smile. Due out in May from Warner Books, and plans a major book tour on its behalf. The shows she turned down are The King and I in London and the new American tour of South Pacific that would have wound up on Broadway. Last year, she turned down Annie Get Your Gun while writing the book. The word from Disney Motion Pictures Group Chairman Dick Cook is that Pearl Harbor will go over the top. It's the biggest budgeted movie in the company's history. From what I heard about the premiere in Honolulu at lunch last week with Cook, it will be gigantic. Ben Affleck stars and the clips I've seen of John Voight as FDR are incredible. Tony Rodham, Hillary's younger brother, who also got named in a part in Mess, tells me that the thing he misses most about his sister being in the White House is Camp David. My son, Zachary, knows every inch of the place, Rodham told me. By the way, he adds that despite rumors, his pending divorce is not hostile at all. I'm always amused when I hear people discuss the media as one entity. Is the media the New York Times? The National Enquirer? Channel 6 in Omaha? A wacko radio talk show? The new news on Fox? Answer, all the above and hundreds more. Watch for Maryland in the NCAA tournament. The Terrapins have had their ups and downs, but right now, they could be very up. I've seen so many Law and Order episodes that often I can repeat the script along with the cast. As you can tell, I like that show. Things I learned while looking up other things. Dreamt is the only English word that ends in the letters M-T. Almonds are a member of the peach family. Tigers have striped skin, not just striped fur. All clocks in the movie Pulp Fiction are stuck on 420. Two-thirds of the world's eggplants are grown in New Jersey. Is this fascinating or what? The longest one-syllable word in the English language is screeched. A shark is the only fish that can blink with both eyes. There are 293 ways to make change for a dollar. All 50 states are listed across the top of the Lincoln Memorial. Maine is the only state whose name is just one syllable. Los Angeles's full name is El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora, La Reina de Los Angeles de Porciuncula.
Wow, you wonder what were the things he was looking up. Ralph the Talking Computer reading this week's Larry King column from USA Today. Excellent job, Ralph. And I did neglect to compliment you on your Michael Jackson impression. That was really something.
Harry,
yeah.
You patronize me. I'll crash on you. Fair warning, department.
You crash anyway.
I was.
Ralph the Talking Computer, so much fun having you with us. So thanks again, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Harry.
And now, here...
So long, everybody. See you on Napster.
Close this lid, will you?
Hey, sei que sou, sempre fui, sempre serei. Oba, de um continente por se descobrir. Já alguns sinais estão aí, sempre a brotar do ar, de um território que está por explodir. Sim. Mas é preciso ser sutil, pois justo na terra de ninguém sucumbe um velho paraíso. Sim, bem em cima do barril, exato na zona de fronteira, eu improviso o Brasil. Hey. Sei que sou, sempre fui, sempre serei. Oba, de um continente por se descobrir. Já alguns sinais estão aí, sempre a brotar do ar, de um território que está por explodir. Minha cabeça voa assim, acima de todas as montanhas e abismos do país. Mas algo chama a atenção, ninguém jamais canta duas vezes uma mesma canção. Paquinho de lua, paquinho de lua, paquinho de lua, tchau, tchau, paquinho de lua, sou no soro aqui. Paqui de lua, paqui de lua, paqui de lua, tchau, tchau, paqui de lua, sono, sono, paqui. O que dá uma massa mulô, o que dá uma massa mulô, e um barro que é um barro. Okina mama sabulo, akina no mama sabulo, yumba no game baru. Paki jilu, paki jilu, paki jilu, jump jump, paki jilu, sono sono ki. Paki jilu, paki jilu, paki jilu, jump jump, paki jilu, sono sono paki. Fucking you love, fucking you love, fucking you love, jump jump, fucking you love, sono sono ki. Fucking you love, fucking you love, fucking you love, jump jump, fucking you love, sono sono papi. Hey, sei que sou, sempre fui, sempre serei. Opa, do continente por se descobrir. Já alguns sinais estão aí, cê vai plantar no ar.
CPR, Continental Public Radio, I'm Aviva Schlurman, with a new program devoted to everybody who eats. Welcome to the Edible Table. Growing food, cooking food, or eating food, it's all here on CPR's weekly magazine of gustation, The Edible Table. Come in, sit down, let's eat. Joining me for our debut edition of the program is an old friend from student days at CCNY. He's been a food writer for most of the major in-flight magazines, and his first book, You Gotta Know When to Fold Them, chronicled the rise and fall of the Kenny Rogers chicken franchise. Now he's got a new book chock full of fascinating recipes and observations about food on the wing. Author of The Odd Bird. Welcome, Merrill Pitkin.
Thanks, Aviva. This is the only show I've done during my book tour that serves croissants in the studio.
It drives the engineers crazy. Merrill, tell us about The Odd Bird. Is that you?
You know me too well, Aviva, but no, it's not. It's about the interesting fact that out of all the birds a culture could rely on for food, our diet basically boils down to chicken and a little duck on the side. Not that I'm advocating boiled chicken.
And turkey on Turkey Day, of course.
Sure, but try and serve turkey this time of year and you'll get a look like you've put pig snouts on the plate.
I've never gotten that look, but I know what you mean. But aside from a Christmas goose or a splurge and a partridge or a quail in a fine dining establishment, if you're not very hungry and want to do a lot of finger work, what other birds could we be eating?
Well, of course, you don't have to go any farther than Mother Goose herself to find blackbird pie.
Now, but are those real blackbirds, or like so much of the goose oeuvre, aren't they symbols of the British monarchy?
I don't know that. I haven't written the history nursery rhymes yet.
But you will.
But, of course, our French and Italian friends are such devoted consumers of pigeon that when they travel to London's Trafalgar Square, they just start drooling.
Oh, St. Mark's in Venice.
Yeah.
But aren't pigeons widely regarded in this country as cockroaches with wings?
I prefer to think of them as the lobsters of the air. But yes, Aviva, what they eat on the continent are not street pigeons, but birds whose diet is controlled. And that's the key for a lot of the birds that are featured in my book. And now that fish are disappearing from the oceans, I think it's time to spotlight a really good source of alternative protein that's right under our noses.
Well, at the same time being right over our heads.
Well, not directly over, I hope.
So what are these odd birds you commend as toothsome?
Well, I kick off the book with a recipe for stuffed puffin, which comes from an Icelandic chef, and I think is simply superb.
Puffin is a smallish shore bird, in many ways the penguin of the north, isn't it?
Well, farm puffins are bigger than the wild ones. Talk about being stuffed, they're almost as overfed as geese in the pate factory. And with the chestnut stuffing in this recipe, it is simply a superb bird. Very juicy and flavorful, with what the food technologists call a fine mouthfeel.
And you're saying that I could go to Mr. Abramowitz, my wonderful butcher, and get a fresh puffin to cook anytime soon?
Well, I think right now availability is limited to specialty companies, restaurant suppliers, stores that feature Nordic foods, that sort of thing. But Aviva, another bird featured in the book is in a lot of the country, if anything, too available. It's the seagull.
Merrill, I always thought you had a little Chekhov in you, but I never knew it would come out like this. I know seagulls can be quite sizable. What do they taste like?
Well, Aviva, commercial-grade seagulls run anywhere from 3 to 6 pounds, and when fed on a 60% fish meal diet, they come out firm and meaty and very low fat. As far as taste itself is concerned, whether you're talking about roast gull with figs or the gull confit on page 68. Honestly, at the risk of being cliche, it tastes a lot like chicken.
Well, if we're running out of fish, Merrill, where are they getting the fish meal from?
Well, right now the few gull farms running have switched to soybean feed, but they say the gulls think it's fish meal. So,
all right, quickly now, what other birds do you cover in the book?
There are 27 different species for which we have recipes, Aviva. Everything from starling croquettes to mockingbird soup.
Well, personally, I would have trouble eating mockingbirds.
Well, there's actually very little mockingbird in the soup. And perhaps my favorite recipe in the book, Aviva, is the pan-roasted crow with root vegetables.
Eating crow, indeed. Merrill, are we talking about foods that will seriously find their way into the American menu, or is this simply a wonderful addition to the novelty cookbook shelf alongside last year's delectable chocolate for breakfast?
Well, Aviva, you never know what will click and what won't. If you could have predicted that kiwi fruit would catch on, but Nutri-Meat wouldn't, you know, I would have said you could go work on Wall Street, but these days that's that's not much of a compliment.
No, but your book, The Odd Bird, is a compliment to actual eating itself.
Thanks.
And we're delighted you made this not the first stop on your book tour.
No, about the 47th, oh. But my pleasure.
And so it's time to put away the good dishes and clean off the edible table. We have support from the Corporation for Potluck Broadcasting and from the Philip Morris Foundation, reminding you that some of our food is good for you. I'm Aviva Schlorman, hoping you'll consider this your invitation to join me the very next time we pull up our chairs to the edible table. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
One night I was late, came home from a date, slipped out of my shoes at the door. Then from the front room, I heard a jump tune. I looked in, and here's what I saw. There in the night was a wonderful scene. Mom was dancing with Dad to my record machine. And while they danced, only one thing was wrong. They were trying to waltz to a rock and roll song. A one, two, and then rock. One, two, and then roll. They did the rock and roll waltz. Rock, two, three, roll, two, three. It looks so cute to me. I love the rock and roll waltz. One, two, and then rock. One, two, and then roll. One, two, and then jump. It's good for your soul. It's old, but it's new. Let's do the rock and roll waltz. There in the night was a wonderful scene. Mom was dancing with Dad to my record machine. And while they danced, only one thing was wrong. They were trying to waltz to a rock and roll song. One, two, and then rock.
Now, just time briefly for me to read a bit from the trades for you, ladies and gentlemen, as is my wont. From Advertising Age, Pfizer plans to combine two of its top-selling prescription drugs into a single pill by 2003. The company is developing a combination product. Now, don't get excited. Blending Lipitor and Norvase. You thought it was going to be... Yeah, I know what you thought it was going to be. The new drug would attack cardiovascular disease by lowering cholesterol and fighting high blood pressure simultaneously. The Uber pill makes sense since the two conditions are related. We think it's the sort of drug with a billion-dollar-plus potential, says Beth Cariello, an analyst who probably would have told you to buy the stock. No, they're not combining Viagra with anything yet, but if this works... And with XFL ratings declining and NBC worried about its firm two-year deal with the league, Bottom line advertisers now see the Floundering League as a big bargain, especially for its young male audience. Surprisingly, since the troubled season started, the XFL has added two national advertisers, Walt Disney and video game marketer Activision. After the first week, XFL lost American Honda. Why would anyone even think about buying XFL time given all its troubles? Because it delivers younger men, and because the XFL is offering deep discounts. That Vince McMahon, he's a genius. An insight that becomes obvious when I read the trades for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph is asleep, but this just in. Where were Larry King's fact checkers when he said all 50 states are listed across the top of the Lincoln Memorial? According to WashingtonPost.com, the upper level frieze contains the names of the 48 states at the time the memorial was dedicated in 1922. Hey, who's counting? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you didn't give a lot of your personal information to voter.com during the recent election when you might have registered with them to get some info. Because since they folded, they're planning to sell their database of 170,000 names, including political affiliation and zip code, to the highest bidder. And maybe the XFL will buy it. Is that Vince McMahon? He's a genius. Today's best quote, apropos of the Bush rollback on restricting the emissions of carbon dioxide, Bush administration economic advisor Larry Lindsey on Meet the Press today said, well, carbon dioxide's not a pollutant, Tim. If it is, we're both polluting right now. Unquote. Hey, he said it, I didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop polluting right now. That concludes this edition of the show. The program returns next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, over the USN cable system, in USN 440, I think, cable system in Japan, around the world to the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz. Maybe I can pick it up tonight since I'm on the East Coast. And on your computer whenever you want it at www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like there being a color in here besides gray, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. By the way, I'm outnumbered in this room by computers 3-1. Ladies and gentlemen, the show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, the satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Have a ghetto burger, won't you?